Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your co-host of The Creative Alchemist. And we come to you live every Thursday, and we talk about business, your business, the business you like to create, and the business that is having challenges because it's growing too fast or it's not growing fast enough. So we talk about these things from finance and sales and marketing, project management, and we always do it with a wonderful guest who has expertise in a specific area. Tonight will be no different. Before we introduce our guest, you know I never go this take this journey alone. I have my co-host, Lori. Let them know you're here. And I hear a little static. I don't know if that's me.
It could be you. So, hi, everyone. It's Lori Miller, LGC Interior Design. Thank you for joining us for yet another Thursday night, 7 p.m. episode. As of now, we have over 1,500 listeners. So thank you, everyone. That's amazing. Tonight's guest is a little bit of a special guest. Her name is Monica Stoller. Her company is called Poppy Lean Interiors. And Monica kind of reinvented herself, which seems to be our theme since COVID. And she is on a path to entrepreneurship. Although she's always been an entrepreneur, this time she's flying solo and without her partner. So, Monica, introduce yourself, tell people what you do, how to get a hold of you. You do some exciting things.
Oh, yes. Too many to name, I think. Hi, I'm Monica Stoller. I'm the owner of Poppy Lean Interiors. Just a little bit of background on me. I've been in the commercial furniture world for about 30 years. I grew up in Ohio and started out as a marketing manager for a large furniture dealership there. And I moved here to New York in 96 and went right back into the furniture world, but into the sales aspect instead of marketing. And I've always been a lot on healthcare and government and real high use facilities is what my focus has been on for a very, very long time. And so I was doing furniture. I was the furniture rep for Souder and Wieland for 23 years and worked a lot with that. I also had my own upholstery cleaning and carpet cleaning business along with that. And we did, we had a contract with New York City Health and Hospitals. So we did all the upholstery and carpet cleaning for all of those hospitals. And also a little bit of Christmas decorating. So it's kind of off the beaten track, but it's kind of how my life works. Last year, I decided I wanted to move a little bit of a different direction from my partner. I wanted to get more into the creative and interior, not design, but more consulting with interior designers like Lori and doing project management and using the knowledge that I have in furniture and fabrics and architectural materials to help those designers that don't have that much, knowledge in the commercial world. Not that Lori doesn't, because she knows everything. But so it's been exciting. 2020 started off a little bit slow. So, of course, everybody knows that. And this year, it's been quite a challenge in the furniture world. But I feel like things are starting to pick up, and projects that have started to come to fruition are being specified now. So it's we have a good future ahead of us. How's that?
An excellent future. So now you're not just doing furniture.
Exactly. Furniture. I took on furniture rep position with H Contract, which is owned by Hooker Furniture. And H Contract is the commercial arm of Hooker Furniture, which is one of the largest retail furniture manufacturers and residential in the world. So I took them on, and I didn't want to take on a lot of different furniture lines because I like to be really focused in what I'm doing. So I also am the rep for Artline Group, which is an art consulting company here on Long Island in Hicksville. They've been around for a really long time. The owner of Artline started out of the trunk of his car, and he drove all over the country with artwork in the trunk of his car. And now they're one of the largest art manufacturers, custom art and like feature walls. And we do a huge amount of mirrors for multifamily housing and healthcare and education. It's a great company, just really, really great. And I'm having a lot of fun with that. And as far as the consulting part of it, I'll just give you an example of how Lori and I work together. Is Lori has a great business in residential interior design and commercial also. So instead of, I'm not an interior designer. So, and I don't profess to be that. But I want to, I help her more with project management and logistics and things like that. I have a lot of experience in that, and that's what I enjoy doing. And also sales. I like to network. I do a lot of networking and help build the business that way.
So networking. So I guess that puts you in a sales capacity, huh?
Right. And, you know, I have to do sales for my own company, and I do sales for other people too. You know, it just depends on how everything works together. I like everything that I'm doing to work together cohesively. So, for example, I am doing marketing and sales with John Baumgarten, who is John Baumgarten Architects in Hicksville, and they do exclusively architecture. But I've done some projects with him, and we see eye to eye, and he goes well along with everything that we're doing. If Lori needs an architect, she can hire John. And it's kind of like, I really enjoy having a friend group. And what I mean by that is when we're going to a client, it's awesome to have a group of people that all work together, because that client then can count on you for one kind of a one-stop shopping. And it's really worked well for me over the years. I think a lot of people don't have a tendency not to do that, but I think it's a great idea to work as a team. And I think that the customer can really rely on you a lot better if you have a team of people that can do whatever they need.
Right. And it would sound like networking is crucial to build a team, because that means you're always meeting people with different qualifications to fit, I'll say, different niches within the industry who are able to do things who have expertise in a specific area. Everyone doesn't have to have the same expertise, or be the jack of all trades.
Exactly. And, you know, when you develop relationships, you know, sales is all about relationships. That's what it's all about.
Right.
It's not about, you know, that's what it is. And, you know, you have to take one client at a time and build a relationship with that person. And, you know, you might go into one company and there may be 10 different people that you're selling, you know, that you would like to sell to, but there's only one person in that company you're going to have a relationship with. Just make sure it's the right person.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you've done both sales and marketing. What, from what you've seen, and I think I've heard you say that, I think I heard correctly, you differentiated between sales and marketing. Some people see them kind of as a matter of semantics. So do you see it as semantics, or is there really a differentiation between sales and marketing?
I think there's a difference. That's just my personal opinion. I feel like, and this is what I do. I mean, I compartmentalize things. So as far as my marketing efforts, I look at marketing more as like my social media and sending letters out and things like that. It's getting harder and harder to do what you call marketing. You know, years ago we used to be able to send things to people and then we could, you know, send a letter and then follow up. It's not like that anymore because it went from handwritten letters to typed letters to a fax machine, and then all of a sudden email came and just wiped all of that out. But now the email is so overwhelming to these customers that you're not standing out. Half the time they don't even see your email. So honestly, I've come full circle with that, and I have a tendency to do more personalized things. And you have to network. If you don't network, you're just not going to get anywhere. I just really feel that way. And sales, I mean, sales is a big job too. You know, somebody told me one time that sales is the easiest low-paying job and the hardest high-paying job that you'll ever have, and that's absolutely 100% true. People just don't call you up and go, "Oh, I was just waiting for you to sell me some furniture." It doesn't work like that.
Right. So marketing for you is. What do you think is the difference between sales and marketing?
Well, I think sales, I mean, listen, marketing, when you do marketing, it's hard to see your return on your investment for marketing. A lot of people spend a lot of money on marketing. They hire web consultants and all this kind of stuff, and rightfully so, because doing social media is a job in and of itself. I mean, my life is really not that exciting, but I have to think of things every day to put on social media. Lori is the master at social media. I don't know how she does it. She, every day you have something exciting and new, and each day has a theme, and I love that. I love that. It's just very difficult.
Thank you.
It's very difficult. That's a very difficult thing to do, and you're very unique in doing that because everybody wants to do that. They just don't. They just can't because it's too much and it's overwhelming to them. As far as sales, I mean, sales is where you're making your money, right? That's where the money comes in. And I mean, honestly, me personally, I could sell anything. It doesn't matter what the product is, but I just have to believe in it. I have to believe very strongly in it to be able to sell it. And I've always kind of been like that. In the furniture world, there's not very many of us left from the, original sales reps, and the furniture companies are having a very, very difficult time finding sales reps. It's really because sales is a hard job. You have to get out there.
Yes.
So sounds like you're saying marketing is more of a generalized approach, could be shotgun. So even if you send a letter out or a brochure, it's you're making the person aware in more of a generalized way. And if you're selling, you're really like you said, one customer, one prospect at a time, and you're really understanding their customized needs, and you're addressing them personally or their, personal aspect of their business.
Exactly. And
really,
you're
having a more intimate relationship as opposed to a general awareness relationship.
Exactly. And with your marketing, you don't really know. I mean, you kind of see, like now we have likes and we have people following us on Instagram and, how many followers do I have? But, there's no substitute for a referral from someone else. That is, a networking referral is gold in the sales world, and you guys both know that. And honestly, when I first started working for Wieland and Souder, they did absolutely no advertising or marketing whatsoever, nothing, and everything was the sales reps and word of mouth. And honestly, it worked just as well as when they started to put ads in the magazine, the trade magazines and things like that. I don't know really. Them that way now. They still don't have a huge social media presence. So I think the furniture world, the contract furniture part of it and design, I think is a little different. I think design relies more on, Lori can answer that. Design relies more on marketing than say, you know, the furniture companies. I don't, and I'm not sure how, what you feel about that, Lori.
You know, I don't know. I think they both serve a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, marketing is important because it does, I mean, it is, it's advertising and it's getting your name and getting your brand recognized. And the selling is important because you're the actual person delivering the product. So,
right.
You know, it's on you. And, it, you know, one is more of a face-to-face, interactive, you know, get to know you, and that's why networking is so important. Whereas the other one is you don't know who's doing it, you just see the message.
Exactly. Yes, that's great. That's great, explaining it that way.
So I think, you know, they both serve a purpose, and you can go. Look, in the old days, they didn't have anything. So it wasn't advertising per se. It was your local neighborhood. So you went into the coffee shops. You went to the restaurant. You know, everybody knew each other. It was the local diner. You grew up there, and, you know, you kept your business afloat because you were the local hardware store. You were the local furniture store. No, it's not like that. People travel
right.
from wherever.
Right. Well, one thing I've always said, and kind of the way that I am and do my businesses, and this is very difficult for a lot of people that have their own business, is every person in your world that you meet should know what you do. And that sounds
yep.
a little bit obnoxious, right? It sounds a little bit, but
no.
it's the truth. Because
the truth.
Every single person needs to know. And I think a lot of smaller business owners and people that I know have a hard time talking about them.
Did we lose her?
Me? I don't know. Where'd she go? Where'd she go? She's here. Nope.
She's still there.
I think we lost her.
It may have
we
kicked her
lost
out.
Monica. I'm sure she'll call back in.
It kicked her out.
She has to call back in.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to hear if she has anything unique about her selling process.
Yeah, she'll call back in. I think we just lost her for a minute. Yeah. Craziness.
Yeah,
so it happens. So,
it's
so Ted and
I'll
talk
wonderful.
Marketing for a minute.
Technology is wonderful, and then it has a glitch, right?
Right, exactly. And then
did I create the glitch? I told her I was in the Matrix, right?
Yep.
The Matrix has a glitch now.
It's always something's got a glitch. It's always modern technology.
Perfect. Excellent when it works, and it's not so good when
and
it doesn't.
Not so good when
it
doesn't.
You want it to be. We're
crazy.
At that moment. So
we are at that moment.
Hopefully she knows that she was kicked out.
Right?
She might still be talking.
Interesting.
And interesting. Wondering why we're not responding.
I don't know. It's very strange. Huh. Yeah, there's something
might
wrong with her phone, for sure.
We might have to send her a text and let her know. She can call back in.
All right, we've got Monica back in.
Oh, sorry about that. I got kicked off, and then when I tried to call back in, it said, oh, we're sorry. I'm like, well,
right.
That doesn't work out.
Nope, that's smart. We said modern technology is great until it's not.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden, everybody's texting me, you're gone. Where did you go? Like, oh, no.
Oh, well,
anyway, now I don't remember what we were talking about. We were talking about networking, right? And about networking, kind of networking groups and things like that. I know. We were talking about having your own business and talking about yourself. And I think people kind of think that is a, you know, maybe it's obnoxious or people don't want to know that, but it's really important. It's really important to know what people do and to also have what you know, have them know what you do. And, you know, when you meet people and you ask them about themselves, they're happy to talk about themselves. You know, when you meet people at networking groups, a lot of times people, you know, you're meeting someone and then you're telling them about you. Well, try the other way around. Ask them about themselves. And that is going to build a better relationship than if you're just sitting there, you know, telling about what you do.
Right.
Right. Right.
Oh, I also think, too, and I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No,
I was going to say, I was just going to reference networking groups. I think it's really important, too, to focus the networking groups on what is really going to work for you. There are so many networking groups out there, and some of them are thousands of dollars to join. But if you go into that group and there you're not getting a return on your investment, if you're not getting that, you know, whatever it is, even if it's $1,500, that's a lot of money. And even if it, you better get that back in the first 6 months or else that is not the right networking group for you. So I think it's important to, like, I know Lori did this too. That's where, because that's where we met at a networking group. It's almost like interviewing the networking group and seeing if that's going to work for you.
Right.
You know, otherwise you're just, I mean, if you go to every chamber event and everything like that, it's, you know, I almost feel like that's more in the marketing realm, you know, going to those places and I just
handing
don't think
out brochures, handing out cards. You're not really meeting anybody. You're not selling them anything. You're just doing an introduction.
Introduction.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
Like running from just kissing babies and shaking hands. Right.
Yeah. That.
Right. If you like that, knock yourself out.
Exactly.
But so, you know. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Go right ahead.
I was going to say, you know, we only have a limited amount of time in our world. You know, you can't do everything, which is what I have to keep telling myself because I'm not very good at that. So I think I could do everything, but I can't. So, you know, you have to really pick and choose how you're going to go forward with both the marketing and the sales. I think
right.
You have to have a plan.
You do. You definitely have to have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to know how many people you want to hit, how many people you want to meet, how many people you want to sit with. These are all good things.
Right. And who are the people? Like, you know, you and I have had situations where someone calls you or you walk into some place and you know, we've both been around a while, so we kind of know. But there's some people that you walk in and you're like, nope, that is just not the right person for me. Because, you know, we all know our personalities. We know what we're good at and what we're not good at. And, you know, sometimes it just does not gel. And,
right.
You know, I guess the older I get, the more I am comfortable saying, you know what, this is not going to work out for me or you.
Right. Exactly. So now we were talking a little bit about the supply chain and, you know, things that have been an issue this year. How do you get around that with your clients?
Well, I don't think there is any getting around it. I had hoped that there was getting around it, but there's not, because it literally is what it is. I have never seen in our world and with the furniture and even architectural materials and wood. Everybody knows that the price of wood went skyrocketed through the roof, right? And all the architectural material, everything is affected by this. And what people don't realize is that the foam that's in your chairs and couches is manufactured in Texas. So
correct.
When they had that big snowstorm and those people were not ready for that. And so it really decimated that industry down there. Their their machines were broken, and they still, you know, then they can't get parts, and it's still like that. And then now they can't get anyone to work.
Right.
So what does that happen? And so what the foam manufacturers did is they rationed the foam to the manufacturers, and they said, okay, well, there's this many manufacturers, so we're going to give each of you, you can only have 25% of what you normally order. Now, what do you think that does to a big manufacturer like Hooker?
Well, of course.
It's horrible.
It's devastating.
It's devastating. And then also people ordering, you know, and a lot of the furniture companies import. They all do it. So where does that stuff come over? It comes over in, you know, on a ship, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you can't get that doesn't, there isn't any more left, because a lot of them went over to China and they never came back during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So the shipping containers are scarce and few and far between, and it's very, very difficult. It's really hard. I think it's more in the commercial market. I think the residential people kind of understand maybe what's happening. I'm not sure. But the commercial people do not. So when you work with furniture dealers, they're used to 6 to 8 week lead time all the time. Like it's usually never more than that. I mean, I've seen it go to 10 weeks, but never more than for a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
Because those commercial manufacturers know they have to keep those lead times down. So it is horrible now. So now people that call, you know, in my commercial marketplace, it's, well, how long is this going to take? And honestly, the answer is, I do not know.
Mm-hmm.
And that is terrible. For a salesperson, it is terrible not being able to give somebody a ship date. And then giving them a ship date, they get the acknowledgement. And, you know, a month later, all of a sudden, you know, the factory informs you that, oh, well, you know, it's going to be another month.
Right.
You know, customers and the commercial customers are counting on you to have their product there for grand openings.
Right.
You know, they have deadlines. And so it's just very, very difficult right now. And I'm hoping that it's going to get better, but I do not know. I mean, at this point, like, if I had to say when it was going to get better, I could not give a date because I don't know.
Mm.
You know, I haven't seen anything on the horizon, you know, that it's being fixed.
Right.
Don't know, you know, and that's hard. That's I think that's the hardest part for me. And then you also can't get things shipped, right, Lori?
Nope,
no, the manufacturers can have it at their factory, and there's not enough trucks to come and get everything. And I've just never seen anything like it ever. So I'm hoping it's going to pick up a little bit.
So now I tell my customers, right, because everybody wants updates. I'm like, look, I'm on top of it. This is out of our control.
Yeah.
Right? You know, we don't know. This is what happened. You know, it was the greatest shit storm of 2021.
Right.
Pardon the English language,
right?
I mean, we had COVID, and it shut the factories down, and then we had the freeze, which shut the cushioning, and then, you know, and then we had the government paying an extra $600 a month so people don't want to go back to work, and, you know, and then we can't get drivers, and, you know, and then we had the Suez Canal, where all of the boats got stuck in the Suez Canal. So, you know, I kind of, you know, put it in context. And, you know, I'd say 95% of my clients are amazing, you know, and they're all like, you know, we can't get permits, we can't do this, we can't move forward. But, you know, we're keeping them in the loop. We're letting them know once a week, look, we checked on this, look, we checked on this, we checked on this, you know, so, you know, and it's kind of like, that's the only thing we can do because everything else is out of our control.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. And, you know, I love that idea of, you know, you do that, I do that too, just keeping people up to date, even if you shoot them an email and say, listen, here's what's going on. Just so, like you said, they don't, I would rather have me do that once a week than them asking me.
Right. Right. And you do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it, let's say, you know, for those of our listeners who are entrepreneurs who are out there and, you know, trying to serve the community and you can't get products, because we know it's happening in, you know, the food industry, right?
Yep.
I mean, I have a client who sells meats and, you know, that's scarce and you can't even get meat and, you know, I can't get my cat food. It's like, you know, so for our listeners, you know, I think taking away, right, that would be one of the best suggestions is keep your customers in the loop.
Yep.
Have, you know, like a bulletin or everyone sends out emails to touch base. Send out an email saying, mm-hmm. you know, make a joke out of it. And not that you're taking it lightly, but that, you know, it's out of your control. And let's, you know, look at this realistically. We have our health. We have, you know, our loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hopefully you still have your loved ones and you didn't lose them to this nightmare. You know, and be reasonable with them. Let them know what's happening. You know, you don't have to hide it from them.
Right. And I think the more honest you are up front, I've always been like that, is the more honest you are up front and the more information and education
mm-hmm.
that you give them up front,
right.
the less problems you're going to have on the back end of, oh, well, you didn't tell me that. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I want my customers to know everything up front, because then how can they make an informed decision?
Correct.
You know, the things that they're buying from me are expensive. It's not, you know,
right.
It's not something for $10. And the same thing with you. They're spending thousands of dollars on products. And, you know, they have to know. And I'm telling everybody, listen, if you want something for next year, order it. You know, the furniture manufacturers don't, in the commercial world, and Lori, you have to speak to this for the residential world, because I'm not exactly sure how that works on your end.
Right.
But I'm like, cut me a purchase order, because the manufacturers, until it ships is when you pay when it ships. So it's a little different in the commercial market. And I'm not sure about residential, how you handle that with residential. I think that they pay up front too, but I'm not sure.
They do. And, you know, if we have to refund it, we do. We did just have to refund a dresser and a chest to somebody and cancel it out because it was over a year.
Yeah.
But for the most part, that's like the only thing that's had to be refunded.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for quality stuff, I mean, you know, you can still get things on Wayfair and you can get things on Amazon, but it's not going to be the quality that you're looking for in a commercial or resident, you know, a higher end residential project. And people know that, you know, it's funny because a lot of times I know I've seen this happen over the last few years that people are, oh, we'll just go online and buy it. Well, now they know, you know, they could go to a furniture store, they could go anywhere, and the furniture stores are, like you said, they're a year out.
Well, even Wayfair, I mean, we were trying to get a day bed for a client
right.
that was like super important.
Right.
And we were like, oh my God, we can't even get it on Wayfair. I mean, it was like,
really?
You know, because we do. I mean, we use Wayfair. We use HomeGoods.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, we have a wide array of places, but we couldn't get it. It was like, okay, when these places say, you know, out of stock, out of stock, out of stock.
Right.
You
and
know.
Then it's not coming back in stock.
Right.
Like, if it's
right.
out of stock, just forget about it now.
Right. I mean, it's just so crazy.
It's crazy. It really is crazy. But, you know, the customers want to do things. Like, they don't want to just sit around and not do projects.
Right.
You know,
yep.
but they also are aware that it's very difficult. Because think about it. If you're doing a project from start to finish, all of that wood and the supply chain, it's way more than just furniture.
Yeah.
And it's way more than that, you know, what we deal with every day. You know, we've got tile, we've got... It's just everything.
Yep.
So it's been an interesting year.
Yep. It's been quite the interesting year.
Yeah.
So now you also have a lot of information on fabrics.
Right. Like I said before, I had a contract with New York City Health and Hospitals that we had
mm-hmm.
for oh my gosh, probably 20 years. We're a woman-owned business, which both of us are too, Lori. That's mm-hmm. very exciting. And I got a lot of experience in fabrics and vinyls. And I started to happen, and I think this was about 10, how many years ago did regular Krypton come out? That was probably 20 years ago, right, when it was the Krypton?
Maybe 15.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Because remember when the Krypton was just Krypton?
Yeah.
And it wasn't woven Krypton?
Yeah.
So Krypton, and for anybody that doesn't know, Krypton and woven Krypton are the dirt barrier is actually woven into the fabric. So what they do is they manufacture the fabric and then they dip it in the stuff and it actually fuses to the actual fibers of the fabric. So, but what happened is that nobody knew how to clean it.
Mm-hmm.
So when regular Krypton came out, nobody knew how to clean it.
Right.
So they were cleaning it with everything
mm-hmm.
and then it would get dirty and it was ruined because you have to clean it with Krypton cleaner, and people do not realize that. I mean, right now, I still see people using, especially in the hospitals and healthcare environments,
mm-hmm.
if they don't know what to use, they're using hard surface cleaners to clean
their
vinyl. And what happens when you clean vinyl with something that is not restorative? What happens is vinyl has a plastic coating on the top of it, almost like a laminated coating if you see something that's in vinyl. And if you use bleach or these hard surface cleaners on it, what that does is it just eats that plastic coating away. And then you're done. It's just over with for that piece of vinyl. You might as well get a new chair. And people don't really realize that. And there's a lot of rules. So what happened was is I love green. I love things being green. I think that's awesome. But it really did not do very much of a service to the vinyl industry, because what happened the vinyl manufacturers changed the formula of the vinyl. Used to wear, remember the vinyl that had the shells on it?
Mm-hmm.
The old vinyl that still looks exactly like the day you put it in there, like 35 years ago?
Yeah.
That doesn't exist anymore. Okay, the vinyls right now they're lasting 5 years top. That's mm-hmm. it. I don't care that's just what happens. And because of that reason. And so the furniture or the fabric manufacturers will tell you, well, you need to clean, here's what you got to do to clean it. But what they don't really focus on is you can clean it with those cleaners, but you have to rinse it.
Mm-hmm.
There is not a person that I've ever met in any kind of commercial or residential that cleans something and then rinses it.
Like, right.
Nobody does that.
No.
It's especially if you're in a commercial environment. Like, you're just not going to do that. I'm sorry, just not. So the vinyl started to fail. And they started blaming the furniture manufacturers. Well, mm-hmm. it's not the furniture manufacturers. You know, it's in reality, it's really kind of not the fabric or the vinyl manufacturers either.
Right.
It's a combination of everything. And there's also been a huge problem with, to go back to the vinyl, with the plastic coating on it, if that plastic coating, if you start cleaning that with other stuff, it gets brittle, that plastic.
Mm.
So, and you know, when you're sitting in it, everybody has jeans, right? And they have the studs on their jeans
mm-hmm.
and or keys or something like that. And all it takes is a little tiny poke in that vinyl. And
mm-hmm.
it's going to start to peel.
Yep.
So the top is going to peel off of the bottom of it.
Right.
And that was starting to happen. Oh, my gosh. It was starting to happen just everywhere. And the other thing that it does it's something in the industry called crocking. And what that is that it's gene transfer and dye transfer from clothing onto certain vinyls. And
mm-hmm.
certain vinyls are more prone to that. I don't ever use yellow. Like yellow, I think yellow is a beautiful color, but I would never use it. I learned that lesson the hard way, to never use light yellow or yellows on chair seats, because it's just, it doesn't take very long, and it just takes that dye transfer. And there's nothing, you can't really get rid of that. There's no cleaners. I mean, I really want to invent a vinyl cleaner to take out ink and dye transfer, because then I wouldn't have to work anymore.
Let's do it.
I would love it. I would love that. Let's work on, put that on our list, Lori.
Put that on the list for sure.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, it's quite the issue. But, you know, that goes back to telling our clients what's the deal up front.
Right.
You know, here's what's going to happen. You can pick this, you can pick that, but it's being a resource and a consultant. And it's important that we tell them, because other salespeople are not telling that. They're not,
right.
People are scared to say things like that up front.
Well, I think that goes back to, you know, being the real salesperson and being upfront with your customers and explaining to them exactly what has to be explained. And then people understand, you know, when you're new in business, sometimes you have a hard time, like, explaining to them how you charge, you know, and you're afraid to tell someone that this is what it's going to cost.
Right.
But when you're on the other side, you're like, why aren't they telling me? Why didn't they tell me this? Why didn't they tell me that? And, you know, the more you understand that communication is key, the more customers you'll have and the more your business will increase.
Right. And honestly, the general public does not know how the interior design business works. You and I have had this conversation. They have no idea. The general public thinks that interior designers are way too expensive and they should never, you know, that's the perception.
Right.
And you and I both know that that's not true.
Right.
Because every interior designer will work with you to make a program that's best for you.
That's correct.
Just how, you know, I mean, if they only have $500, then we'll do whatever we can for $500 for them.
Exactly.
So that's kind of been a little bit of a focus on where I actually signed up with Home Advisor, because they called me and said, you know, there's not a huge amount of interior designers. And I live in Levittown, which is the original, one of the original suburbs in the United States. We have two types of houses. So, you know, people here are not, they're not millionaires in this area. And I really wanted to bring some of the interior design ability to those people too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been very interesting to work with people, and they just don't know. I mean, one person I went to, another designer was going to charge her $500 curtains and maybe touch up some, or I mean, $2,500.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what? No, that's great. I would love to charge $2,500, but that's, you know, it's all, I guess it's the perceived value too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Ted, you must have a lot to contribute on this, being a business coach extraordinaire.
Yes.
Well, I was going to ask, you know, I definitely communication, right? So any kind of relationship, being upfront with people and helping them understand where you stand and how you do things. So I was wondering, and you were also talking about planning, do you plan out a sales call? Like if you have a scheduled sales appointment with a prospect, do you plan that, or like how do you, is there anything unique you think you do from a sales perspective?
You know, over the years, I've been to a lot of sales training, okay, and some of it's great. One that I ever attended was Action Selling. I don't know if you're familiar with that. They have a book that is, you can read it literally in 15 minutes. And it is an amazing way that they teach you how some more techniques. And one of the things is exactly what you're saying is the planning is, you know, you need to have a commitment objective. What is your objective? What do you want to get out of that meeting? What are you going to leave there with?
Are you going to leave there with another appointment? Are you going to, you know, because I used to just go, you know, I would schedule myself, right, for sales calls and different customers and, you know, go to my customers at hospitals. And then, we, you know, we would talk about their families and we would talk about furniture and then I would leave. And then you're like, well, what did I get out of that meeting?
What just happened?
I didn't.
Right.
Exactly. So that was just such a great eye opener for me was the commitment objective. And then also, you know, it's a plan. What are you going to do each time? So it's fine if you go there and you have a personal relationship with them and you're talking about their family and then you talk about furniture or whatever you're selling, but you need to ask the questions at the end. You know, you have to make sure that you're asking questions, you know, throughout the whole sales appointment. And the other thing is you have to listen to the answers. You know, I think one of the biggest, and I have this, is that you have to listen to what they're saying to you. You can't think about what you want to say next. And that is a big problem. A lot of people have that problem, is they want to just talk and they want to give all the information they could possibly give, but then they're not listening to the answers. So if you went out and you said, well, what did they say about this? You'd be like, I don't really know. So that was just, those two things are just invaluable to me.
So you do have a planning. So you kind of know in advance which questions you would like to ask. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
It's not, I think that winging it is not a great idea. And I did that for a lot of years and my sales went, it was so much better whenever I started planning.
I can imagine. Right. And listening, because people will tell you a lot. They'll tell you what they really want or what they're not interested in. So that way you don't spend time trying to sell them something they already said they don't want.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I guess they have their reasons, and I guess you have to understand their reasons and how does your product provide, satisfy their reasons, right? They have their own reasons. Everyone
exactly.
has their own reasons for buying, right? Whether it's furniture, a car, you know, you could say in some sense, you know, a lot of furniture serves similar purpose, but why would you spend $500 on one piece and as opposed to spending $2,500 for something they're looking for?
Right. Right. And also, the one thing is the very first thing that everybody has to remember is people are buying from you. They're not really buying
right.
from, I mean, of course, you're selling a product, but from you. So it really shouldn't matter what you're selling. It's you that they're, you have to sell yourself. And that's the most important thing, I think, when you're being in sales, is that people know about you and what kind of a person you are and what's important. Is service important to you? That's really important to me. You know, on fast turnaround times on quotes and things, that's really important to me. Following through on what you say you're going to do for them, really important. And, you know, people respond to that.
They do. They want to know if they're going to get, you know, integrity is a big deal, right? It's a way of demonstrating your integrity to follow up and do what you said you would do.
Right. Right.
Integrity?
And following up even, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Integrity? Yes.
Yes. Honoring your word.
Yeah.
I mean, God.
Yeah.
You know, you hear
and
about
also,
companies
and also,
that a salesperson doesn't follow up.
Right. Right. And follow up
okay.
after. Like I always, I joke with my customers and I'm like, listen, you can buy the furniture from me, but it's still going to be mine. So I'm going to come and check on it and make sure you're taking care of it. And I mean, it's done in a joking way, but I kind of feel like that. Like I want to follow up. Like a lot of times you'll have a designer that does a project. And then they do the project, boom, 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 done. They got their pictures, out of there. Nothing, you know, but that's not the way it should work. You should be a resource for that customer forever. And that's how I kept a huge amount of my customers, you know, over the years.
And how do you think that's benefited you?
Well, because when they're looking for something, and honestly, it didn't even really matter what I sold. People would just call me up and go, "Oh, hey, can you do this?" I'd be like, "Sure, I'll help you find it." You know, and I still do that. Like, people call me up and ask me for weird stuff, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, I know a guy." You know, and
yeah,
but
yeah.
It's important because then I'm becoming a resource for that person. You know,
right.
Which is always great.
Some level of
so Monica,
value.
So, Monica, how can people reach you if they need furniture for their office or, you know, some assistance or some artwork or whatever you do?
You know what? I'm available every way. My phone number is, should I say my phone number? Oh,
yeah.
516-768. 2575 is my phone number, and it has been that way for a long time. If you Google Monica Solar, you're going to find me because it, yeah, that's just what happens. I've had an email called the Chair Lady for ever since I started, since 1996, and my email there is monica@chairlady.com. And it's kind of funny, but people remember it. I tell people, you don't have to really remember my name, just remember Chair Lady. And they do. Because it's kind of unique. I also have, you know, poppylaneinteriors.com. So monica@poppylaneinteriors.com. I have a website. The website is just more telling about interior design, you know, interior design consulting and how I partner up with people. It's not really, you know, I don't really have anything on there for sale or anything like that at this point, but you never know.
You never know. It could be coming.
Right. I have a friend that's doing some pretty great stuff, so we might be selling that on Poppy Lane. We'll see.
Nice. And that would be wonderful.
Mm-hmm. That would be you.
Thank you. Thank you. So any other tidbits that you want to offer people for the last 4 minutes?
I don't know. Don't buy cheap stuff. You really literally get what you pay for.
What?
Like if you go a place and you buy a $100 chair, you're going to have a $100 chair.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to buy it five times in the next 5 years. That's just what's going to happen to it.
Right.
You know, and people like you, people come to you and me, and they come to us because they don't know that, you know.
Right.
Everybody thinks, I mean, I've seen a lot, and, oh, I'd be interested to see what you said about this, too. You know there's a lot of e-design coming up now.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's offering that. I'll do two rooms for $150.
Right.
Well, you know, I'll do a Zoom call with you and $150. I'm like, what?
Right.
Yeah. You know, and that's interesting to me. I don't necessarily like that, but it's interesting to watch that evolve.
Yes. Well, yes. And e-design is great. We do a lot of it. We're very careful. And, you know, for people who don't know, you want to make sure that you're able to take measurements because, you know, if your measurements are off, that could be really scary if someone's specifying furniture. And you want to make sure that they're sending you color swatches because, you know, blue looks great in my light. But in your light, it may look muddy.
Right.
So, you know, you want the color swatches. You want your fabric swatches to make sure everything matches before you sign, seal, and deliver. And whatever you're getting, you want to make sure you can return in case you really don't like it.
Exactly. Exactly.
So.
And, you know, I think warranty is really important, too.
Warranty.
And people don't understand warranties. I mean, a lot of manufacturers are like, oh, we have a lifetime warranty. Well, no, you really don't.
Yep.
You know, you might have a lifetime warranty because you want people to believe that, But if something's actually wrong with that, are you going to replace it? Again,
right.
That's what I want to know.
Yep.
And honestly, I work with manufacturers that is how they work. I was taught that by Wheeland. Wheeland had a 25-year warranty on all the parts and pieces,
yep,
including the foam. There
mm-hmm.
are very, very few manufacturers like that now. I just think that's something really important.
I agree with you 100%. I think that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ted, any last words of wisdom?
Well, I think Monica could give some last words of wisdom, maybe even in dealing with supply chain.
Oh,
what?
I wish I had more. I wish I had more wisdom about the supply chain. That's what I wish. I wish I had a magic mirror that I could look and see what's going to happen. And I just really don't. I mean, just expect that the prices are going to keep going up. I mean, what we've had almost 5 price increases since October of last year, because, you know, what are the manufacturers going to do? They have to raise their prices. They can't, you know, they're paying way more for foam and wood and all the parts and pieces. So expect that. Expect
mm-hmm.
the prices to go up. Expect fabric prices to go up, right, Lori?
Yeah.
Expect it. Just expect it. Or wait. That's all you can do. There's only
that's
two things. Right? Expect it or wait. That's it.
Yep.
Or refurbish what you have. Like, I love it when people get things reupholstered and do, I mean, because the bones of your furniture is usually pretty great.
Correct.
And if you reupholster something, you can get new foam, new fabric, and all that. And right now, you can probably get it, you know, in 4 weeks or 5 weeks as opposed
right.
to
or less.
16 or a year.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, great words.
So, well, thank you, Monica. You've been a great guest, highly informative. Anybody who's out there, please note, Monica has said that networking is very, very important. So continue to network, get yourself out there. And it doesn't have to cost a lot of money to get your name out there.
Right. And call if you have a, you know, either Lori or me or call us and ask us questions. Call, we love that. I love that, Lori.
Mm-hmm.
I love helping people, even if it's not furniture or design, you know, if you're wondering about something or you're
right.
like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to buy this. What do you think about this fabric? Just call and ask. Or
right.
draw, you know, email. It's not like we're not going to answer you. We'll
yep.
absolutely guide you in the right direction.
Absolutely. And Ted, you?
No, I want to say thank you to everyone who listened. Apologize for that little glitch we had. Monica, when you were out, I made a joke and said, well, I said I'm in the Matrix, so maybe we had a glitch in the Matrix and they kicked you out when you came back. So
I did. It was
that
hard, though.
Sometimes.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, we've got you.
So,
yes.
Murphy's Law,
thank you
right?
for yes. being a guest. Thank you for being our guest, Monica.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. And, Lori, you do such a great job on this and everything else that you do. And I love working with you.
Thank you.
I know when we met a couple of years ago, we're like, we're going to work together someday, but I don't know how. And
yeah.
I think it's kind of starting to come to fruition, which I love.
Yes, it's gelling a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. We're working on it.
We're working on it. So thank you. And next week we have another fabulous guest.
Yay.
So we look forward to seeing you Thursday at 7.
Great.
Bye, everyone. Have a great
Bye.
Evening.
Thank you
Bye.
So much.
Thank you.
I appreciate
Take
it.
Care. Have
okay,
a great
thanks.
evening.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Uh-huh.
Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.